Okay, page 56. Last thing we learned, Avraham Avinu made his wife's tent first, right? That was the important thing.
Right.
Okay. We're at Sheni, Pasuk Yudalid, page 56, five lines from the end of the page. Okay, so Avraham Avinu, the last thing we learned, Avraham Avinu is telling Sarah, do me a favor, say you're my sister, I should have it good because of that, and you know, whatever happens to you happens. But we discussed, because Avraham Avinu was certain nothing is going to happen to Sarah, and as we also mentioned, let's sit in the next few psukim. Vayhi kavei Avraham Mitzrayim, it was when Avraham came into Egypt, and Rashi says, what do you mean Avraham? Avraham came with Sarah also. Why does it say only Avraham? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that what Avraham Avinu did is he hid Sarah in a box. He put her in a box that the Egyptians shouldn't see her. He came to the customs, and the customs said you have to pay the taxes, the custom taxes. Avraham said, no problem. So he said, you carry garments in the box, which is very high taxes. He said, okay, I'll pay duty on the garments. See, they said, you're carrying silks. It's even more expensive. You have to pay higher tax. Avraham Avinu said, I'll pay the highest tax. No problem. So they got fish. They were thinking something's going on. The guy's willing to pay any amount of money for taxes. So they opened the box, and lo and behold, there was a woman in there.
Human
trafficking. Sarah, okay? Okay. By the way, it's very interesting. The Ramban said, we learned this before. The Ramban says, Maisa of a similar banim, whatever happened to the patriarchs is a sign what's going to happen to the Jews. This whole concept of Ram going down to Mitzrayim was the forebearer of the Jews going into Egypt. Avraham coming out of Mitzrayim, like we'll learn later, with a lot of money. That was the Jews leaving Egypt with a lot of money. The problems in Golis, Avraham had a problem with the Bosara in Mitzrayim. This is all preludes to the actual Golis and the life, the history of the Jewish people. So the others already lived through, they paved the way, and by them, by the way, succeeding in their tribulations and tests, they actually paved the way that the Jews eventually would be able to survive and live through their tests. Okay, the Egyptians saw the woman, just as Avraham Avinu said, that they're going to say that she's so beautiful. She was extremely beautiful. By the way, there's a Gemara Megillah that says there were seven beautiful women in the world. And Sarah was, Chava was first. But Sarah was mentioned also the second, I think, as an extremely beautiful woman. Now you have to understand, at this time, she was 50, if you hold Avraham Avinu was 75 when he left. Yeah? So she was 65. Sarah was 10 years younger than Avraham, right? Okay, so Avraham gave birth at 100, she gave birth at 90. So every 10 years apart. So Sarah was now 65 years old, and she was still extremely beautiful. Even though she was already 65. She was midlife, because she died at 127. So 65 was mamish, like halfway through her life. But Yiro Esa Sari Pare, the officers of Pari saw her. What does it mean they saw her? They withheld Sara. What do you mean the office? They didn't let anybody see her, the customs people. They said this woman is for the king himself. So they didn't want anybody to see him, because maybe other people would grab her or do whatever they would like to do with her. So they said they didn't let anybody see it. The officials themselves were afraid to touch her, the Ramban says. Okay? And therefore, they brought it to Pare. And they praised it to Pare, meaning they said that this is the only one that's fit for Pare, or Pare is the only one fit for her. But Tukach Isha Beis Pare, the woman was taken to Pare's house. Now, it's interesting, it brings out over here the Sefer Yashar, which is basically a Medrash. This Pare's name was Rikiyoin. R-E-K-I-O-N. Okay? He was brilliant. He took over, he unseated the king that was there before him, and he became the first king. Now, how did he get the name Parei? Because Parei comes from the word Piroin. Piroin means Bailo Salhai.
Jacob would be proud.
Yes. Parei, besides the Kabbalistic interpretation, the word Parei means Piroin, payment, para. Okay, he made Egypt extremely wealthy. And therefore, all the kings of Egypt were called Parei. All the kings of Bashan were called Oig. This is what Daskim Baal Tesis says earlier on Chumash. So there was like tradition. They became the king. They became called Parei. Their names weren't Parei. It was like, that's the name they became when they became king. Tukach Isha Beis Parei, meaning Beis Parei doesn't mean the house of Parei, it means the palace. She was taken to the palace. Now, Batukach means, in Hebrew, it was like forcibly taken. The same expression we find by Esther in the Megillah. Okay? Batukach, sorry, didn't want to go, obviously. So they took her against her will. They forced her to go to the king's house. Okay. Now, Sarah, the Mepharshim say like this. Avram said, she's my sister. Sarah didn't say anything. She didn't deny it. She didn't agree with it. The only one, okay, that she told that she's his wife was Parei. To the king himself, when he wanted to be with her, besides the fact that God gave him leprosy, but to him, she said, I'm a married woman. But she didn't say anything. Okay? Now, so it says, Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, this taking of Sarah was one of Avraham Avinu's 10 tests. What?
She says, I'm a married woman, but she didn't say I was married.
No, she said, I'm Avraham's wife.
Oh.
That's why later on, Parei, but she didn't tell, the Medrash says she didn't tell to anybody else. She only told it to Parei when he wanted to be with her. Okay, now, so it says like this in the Medrash. Medrash Tanchuma says that when Sarah was taken to the palace, Avraham Avinu started crying and davening. Sarah started crying and davening. Okay? And God answered them, by the way, this is the Medrash Tanchuma says, Hashem answered them, nothing's going to happen, not to you and not to her. You're going to be safe. So meanwhile, though, Avram hated Bavura. Avram had a lot of money because of her. They gave him a lot of gifts, right? Because she was a sister. He had cattle and sheep, sheep and cattle, donkeys, avodim, mishvachas, slaves and maidservants, and female donkeys and camels. They really loaded him up. But it's interesting, there's a few things in this pasuk. The word shvachais is without a vav. Maidservants, plural, is shvachais with a vav. Why is it here without a vav? The Medrash says it was one maidservant. Without the vav is singular, shivchat. Who was it? Hagar. Avraham Avinu was given Hagar. Who was Hagar? I mean, he married her. She was Parei's daughter. And Parei's daughter, Parei said, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, it's better to be a maidservant. When he saw who Avraham Avinu was, Parei said, it's better for my daughter to be a maidservant in the house of Avraham than a princess in England, in Egypt. So that's why the Medrash says, that's why it says Shvachais, because it means Shvachais actually gave her Hagar. Okay? Why does it read it Shvachais? Because Hagar, the one maidservant, was equal to many, many, many maidservants. So it was singular, but the Torah uses the word plural. Okay?
I never knew that he was, that Hagar was Pharaoh's daughter.
Yeah, Rashi says that in Chumash in a number of places.
Why when Abraham wanted her to leave, why didn't she go back to his father's house?
She did.
She did?
She went back to Egypt.
Oh.
That's what the pasuk says. Yeah, she went back to Potter's house, and then she came back and she married Keturah. She became Keturah. She changed it, the name was changed, but it was really Hagar. But she was Potter's daughter.
She came back. She got to be with Abraham again. No.
Yeah, yeah, Keturah.
Kids.
And in fact, it says in the Medrash, why was she called Hagar? So Hagar is two words in Aramaic. Ha, here, agrach, your payment, your reward. So he called her Hagar to tell Avram, this is the payment for allowing me to take Sarah to the palace. So it's actually a whole thing. And it says, therefore, not only that, Pari said like this, he gave Sarah a document of his wealth, silver, gold, maid servants, and land. He gave her the land of Goshen, where the Jews eventually lived when they came to Egypt. When Yosef brought them down, they lived in the land of Goshen. Why did they live in Goshen? Pari gave that to Sarah. He gave a lot of money. Here's another important lesson. You're going to like this one because it's pro-women.
That's good.
Yeah, good. It says, Avram heitiv ba'avura. Avram had it good because of her. So the Gemara learns, and the Gemara quotes this as a pasuk, that the brachas in the house come because of the woman. The brachas in the house come because of the woman, and that's why it says you have to have the honor of your wife, or the Alter Rebbe brings this down, the Gemara B'Mamitzia, the Alter Rebbe brings it down, Shulchan Aruch. Rava told the people, he was the rabbi of the city of Mechuza, which was in Babel, in Iraq. So he told the people of the city, respect your wives that you should get rich. And he said, because the bracha in the house is because of the women. Where do we see this? From this pasuk. Avram heitiv ba'avura. What? You like it, huh?
Yeah, I had him.
Oh. Okay, you say so. So Avram had all these things, okay? Now, the question is, and here's an interesting question in Mefarshim asked, but the question is really from later. When you know this dome, the four kings with the five kings, and Avram was chased and recaptured Lot. So it says in the Pasuk, Melech Zedim wanted to give Avram a lot of wealth from the spoils that they captured. Avram declined everything. So Mefarshim asked, why by Zedayim did Avram deny everything? Huh?
Refused.
By Zedayim, he denied everything.
He refused
everything. And here, he accepted everything. What's the difference? If Avram is a personality, doesn't want gifts, so why over here did he accept the gifts?
Now he was poor.
I'll tell you a little secret. The rich people take it more than the... There's a Mishnah in about Bikurim. It says, you know the expression, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? It's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah. There's a din by Bikurim, you know they brought the first fruits. So the Gemara says like this, the rich people brought the Bikurim in silver trays and gold trays, expensive trays. And the poor people brought it in cheap wicker baskets. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says that the rich people got their baskets back.
Right.
And the poor people, the Kohanim kept the baskets. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, that's the expression of the people, that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Here the rich people get their baskets back, and the poor people donate their wicker baskets, which for them is a lot of money, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the...
Keep a wicker basket. If anything, you should keep the silver tray.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That they gave back.
What? But yeah, but why?
So they kept the
that's
silver.
What
they were obligated to bring...
Well, first of all, it's very expensive. Why should they keep it? Okay, so Avram Avinu became tremendously wealthy. And again, what is this? how does this show future history? Like we said, when the Jews left Egypt, they elevated, all, they took out a lot of money with them. Gemara says in Chulin Evi, and sorry, Mechaitis, Gemara says that there wasn't a Jew that didn't go out of Egypt with 90 donkeys loaded with gold and silver. And the Mefashim of the Gemara, by the way, ask a question. If every Jew had 90 donkeys, you know how many donkeys there had to be in Egypt at that time?
54 million.
Yeah, something like that. Because there are 3 million Jews, yeah, and each one had 90 donkeys.
54 million.
It's a lot. It's more than it's 90 times. 600,000. Times 2 million.
Oh.
2.5, whatever it is. It's a lot. So you say it's an exaggeration. It doesn't mean exactly 90, whatever. But the Jews went out of Egypt with a lot of money. Avraham Avinu, at this point, had to elevate Egypt, the money of Egypt, the property of Egypt. So when he was given it to him, like the Jews later, they left Egypt because they elevated all the sparks of the money that was in Eretz Mitzrayim. So Avraham Avinu did it also now as part of that thing. Okay, so it says like this. V'inaga Hashem es pari negoyim gedolim es vesim. Hashem afflicted Pare with his whole house of severe plagues. What is it? It's a, Rashi says it's a plague called Raton. What is Raton? It's a skin disease that it makes it impossible to have intimacy. And this was, why did Hashem do it? The Sarah's purity should be kept. Okay? So now, Pare himself had negoyim gedolim, and if you notice the interesting, the pasuk says a very interesting way of saying it. Hashem plagued Pare with great plagues and his household. Really it should say, Hashem plagued Pare and his household with big plagues. The pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk says Pare had big plagues and also his household. So Mefarshim explained it was only afterwards that really Pari himself had the terrible plagues, this intimacy stuff, and the others instead regular plagues, whatever it was. But only Pari that was afflicted with it. Okay. Valdvar Sarai Eishas Avram, and the word of Sarai, meaning because he did injustice to him, so the plague was so severe that nothing could happen to him. Okay? Now, it says like this. Sara that night was crying that she didn't want to get defiled by Pare. And she says, Avram went forth from his land and your assurance I went forth blind faith. And look at him. Avram Avinu, nothing's happening to him. Look what's happening to me. She said to Hashem, it's not fair. I went with blind faith with Avram. Avram spoke to you. And Hashem didn't speak to Sara, right? Hashem spoke to Avram. Avram went, and Sarah went with her husband blind faith. She said, look, it's not fair. So it says, don't worry. It's all because of you. Advar Sarah Eishas Avram. So it says like this. Reb Levi says, this is from the Medrash, that the entire night an angel stood with a whip in his hand. When she ordered strike, that's why it says, Advar Sarah Eishas Avram. What do you mean, Dvar? The word. So the Medrash says, what does it mean based on the words of Sara? If it wanted to be just because of Sara, it wouldn't say, Al Devar Sarai. Al Sarai, it should say, what is Devar? Word. Sara saw the angel whip, he whipped him. She said, stop. So Sara was in control of the night. Okay? But Yikra Pari La Avram. So Pari called Avram, and he said, one more point over here. Why does it say Sara Eishes Avram? Don't we know that she was his wife? The pasuk says Hashem plagued Pare because of Sara, the wife of Avram. Of course, everybody knows it's his Avram. Well, what's the Torah telling us now? It's his Avram's wife. So the Mefarshim explained very interestingly. The Klei Yoker says, Sarai told Pare, I'm his wife. She didn't tell anybody else. Everybody else thought it's a sister. But Parai, she said, I'm his wife. So I'm a married woman. And Parai didn't care less. Couldn't care less. That's why Hashem had to plague him with the skin disease. That he couldn't do it. 1 minute. So Parai is also not a big tzaddik. Once he heard she was married, he still wanted to be with her, but Hashem didn't let him physically. Because he had this leprosy disease, whatever it is. So that's why the pasuk says, "Al dvar Sara Eishes Avram," because Sara said to Parai, "I am Eishes Avram," and that's what. Not that we don't know that it's. Of course, we know it's his wife, but now the pasuk is saying that she told this to Parai, and this answers another question that the Mefarshim ask. Parai was innocent here. Think about it. Parai didn't do anything wrong. A woman comes, right? Man and woman come, she says clearly, or he says, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Correct? So, by taking her, what did he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong by taking her. He wasn't committing adultery. He wasn't doing anything wrong. So, Mefarshim asked, this is what Parai did wrong. Because Sarai said to him, I'm his wife. And he still took her. And he still wanted to be with her. That's why Parai was punished. Otherwise, it's not fair. Avram lies, basically, or not lied, or stretched the truth. Yeah? Said my sister. So why in the world should Parai be punished? Because he was innocent. So unfortunately, he wasn't innocent. Because Sarah said to him, I'm a married woman.
Yes, he's innocent. I mean, in today's world, he certainly just can't take any woman he wants and, like, it's coming across the border and take her as a wife.
First of all, there's an interesting halacha. A Jewish king?
Jewish king, yeah.
Well, David HaMelech had six, and the Navi said to him, if it's not enough, I'll triple it. So now we learn out that a king can have up to 18 wives. Question is, with concubines, without concubines, it's another argument in Rambam and Ravid. But the Rambam says that the king could take, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that a king could take women that he wants as a wife and they married him.
Different world.
No, that was the power of the king at the
time.
Yeah. But I'm saying Achashverosh was a guy, but David HaMelech, I'm saying, I mean, a Jewish king.
Not a
was allowed to do it. Not a married girl.
And Pharaoh, at the end of it, was behind her himself. Because even if he got leprosy, he could have still said, you know, I want you. You have to be in the house. You have to stay here.
Right. But the bottom line was that he... And therefore Hashem took away the leprosy. He healed him. It wasn't... what?
If the Egyptians were so corrupt and immoral, how is the king probably the worst one of them? Why would she tell him?
That's what we mentioned before. Parai was the epitome of wisdom. I mean, they were corrupt.
That's all I said. But then Parai would have want to have a wrong king. That was the whole fear that he needed.
In Kabbalah it says, in Desire it says, Chassidus brings us down. Remember we learned about love on down here is very low, loving the loven, ha'elyoin, the ultimate level of purity. Parai, it says, dispiridu kol nihirin iloin. Parai means opened up all the lights of above. Parai was an extremely, in the source, was an extremely super lofty level of kedusha. When it came down, the higher the thing, the lower it falls. It came down in a terrible way of klipa. Esav was a higher spiritual level than Yaakov. Lavan was a higher spiritual level than a lot of other people. You know what I mean? The biblical people, even the wicked people of the biblical wicked people of the Torah, were still very lofty neshamas, souls, not neshamas, souls of Kedusha, that when it fell into total evil in the worst level of evil. Parai is putting kol nihirin ilon, meaning it opened up all the lights of the spiritual realm. It's a super, super great level. Down here he became, because it fell all the way down, that's what happened. Okay, so Vikra Parai la Avram, Parai calls to Avram, and he says to him, Mazaisa Sisali, what did you do to me? Okay? He says, he said, you finally realize the fact that God punished him, he realized that he did do something wrong. That means he did believe Sarah. Because Pari could say, listen, everybody's telling me she's my sister. She doesn't want to be when she make up the story that she's a married woman. Why should I believe that? Why can't I believe she's not a married woman? So when he saw Hashem punished him, he realized that Sarah was telling the truth. That she was a married woman. Okay? So he called Avram and he said, what did you do to me? What did he want? The Ramban says, he wanted Avram to tell him the truth. Simple. He wanted him to tell him the truth. What's going on? Why didn't you tell me that she's your wife? And the Mefarshim say an interesting thing. Why does it say Lama Lehi Gadatali? Why does he say, why didn't you tell me? Lama Lehi Gadatali, why didn't you say? Why does it say Lee? What did Pari tell him? I understand you didn't tell anybody else because they're a bunch of corrupt people. But I'm the king, I'm not corrupt. Why don't you tell me the truth? You want to lie to my people, they're corrupt, I understand. Why are you lying, Lee? Why are you lying to me? That's what Pari said to him. And as a king, and Bukhlal, as the Mepharshim say, kings wanted to take virgins. They didn't want married women, used the material, chayda, used goods. So he said, why in the world did I take a married woman? Why didn't you tell me the truth, he says. Lama
Marta Chaysihi. Before they took Sarah then?
Obviously it says that she said it to her sister.
I thought that's what he told.
It's understood.
He got all these gifts from him.
It's understood from the context that they did speak. Otherwise, how would it be? Okay? He said you could have at least been silent. Okay? You told me that, what do you want from me? He says basically. What did you do this to me? You God punished me. I'm an innocent guy and you made God punish me for nothing. And I took her as a wife. Okay, so why are you doing it? Okay? And he wanted to make Avram feel good. He said, you are such a great man. I wanted to become your brother-in-law. I wanted to become your brother-in-law. What do you want? It's, you know. So he says like this.
Avram's sister, huh? If he married, then he would be Avram's brother-in-law.
Is this the same peril that wanted to enslave the Jews?
Did he live this long? No, but we said all the kings of Egypt were corpulent. They didn't live this long. No. He would have had to live over 400 years. I mean...
It also said that there was a new king.
That later on, but there's two opinions there. Was a new king or he had leprosy, whatever.
No,
but this guy is from this time yet.
Was Pari or was Moab?
What?
The king was...
Pari.
This is
Pari. And not... Navi Melch is coming up soon. Okay, meaning, so he says like this. Va'ata now, hine ishtecha kach v'leich. Take your wife and get out of here. Now, the Radak says, what do you mean, hine ishtecha? She's your wife, the way you gave it, I didn't defile her, I didn't touch her. She's your wife, she's still your wife, you know what I mean? I didn't do anything to you, kach v'leich. Now, the question is, by Avimelech asked the same question. Over there, Avram Avinu answered him. She's really a little bit my sister, and I was afraid. Here, Avram didn't answer Pari anything. Pari said to him, take your wife and get out of here. Why didn't Avram Avinu answer the question? He came with an accusation, right? Why did you lie to me? Why did you tell me that's my sister? Why did you tell me it's your sister? So why don't we see Avraham Avinu answered? Avraham Avinu didn't answer him, it seems. He said, take your wife and get out of here. So Mefashim explained a number of things. Pare, you know, sometimes a guy screams at you, he's not interested in your answers. And sometimes they are. You know, human nature. Okay, Avraham Avinu saw, this is what the Mefarshim say. He saw Pare was so angry, he wasn't in the mood of an explanation. He just said, get out of here.
Why did he let him keep everything he gave him?
Huh?
Why did he let him keep everything he gave him? What, don't you think that if he was that angry, he would have... Either like option one, kill him, or take everything back?
He wasn't, in fact.
Wasn't an Indian giver?
By the way, the Ramban answers the question, by the way. Ramban says, in fact, he quotes, that he did not do so. The question, because Suvan of the Lunda Pasik, he sent him away with everything that he gave him.
It's crazy.
So, he did not even suggest that Avram take the gifts under false pretenses. And Ramban says that he did not do so was one of the greatest miracles of the entire incident. The Ramban says the miracle was Pari could have said legitimately,
yes,
if they went to a Din Torah.
He didn't have to go to a Din Torah. He was the law.
I understand.
But he gave under false pretenses. So he
no, what do you mean, Adul? Let me tell you something. Somebody sent me a clip. A brother has a brother-in-law. A sister has a sister-in-law. A father has a father-in-law. A mother has a mother-in-law. And a wife, she is the law.
By the way, Paro realized that he's a great man.
Yeah. Yeah, but come on, he gave it to him under a certain condition. Halachically, if I give you something on a condition, and it's a false condition, halachically you have to give back the stuff.
100%.
What language
that time they were speaking? Hebrew. Now, wasn't hungry.
Did Pari
send his daughter with them?
Yeah, he liked him. He gave him his daughter too.
No, but he saw that it was a great thing that he did.
He was afraid that because something happened, something worse would happen.
He must have really had some kind of play.
Not only that. No, the Malbim says even more. We didn't get to the pussy. Pari had people accompany Avraham out of the country that nobody should touch him. In other words, he said, and he sent them out. And then in Sefer Yoshua, which is Medrash, he gave additional gifts when he sent them out.
Maybe he really had a strong feelings for Sarah.
By the way, according to Seder Elam, how long did this Pari story take? It's interesting. The Medrash, how long did this whole story of Pari take? 3 months.
It's a long time.
Well, 3 months from the time he left.
From the time he came to Egypt until he left was 3 months.
Maybe when they were together, Sarah said some stories for him that
To who?
To Pharaoh.
Yeah, they weren't together. He couldn't be together.
No, maybe he did. Maybe he didn't take anything or hurt Avram or take anything away for her sake.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah. No. So just feeling wise.
He saw the angel. Blown away.
I think he was more.
He was quite smitten.
More fright than love.
The Barbanel says he summarizes this. What's the moral lesson of all this? He says, what the Pasuk says, Rabbis Machshavis Belevish, there are many thoughts in the heart of man, Vatzas Hashem Yisakum. And the advice of God, yeah, we say it in davening every day. Okay? Avram wanted to escape the famine for his wife's benefit. And look at the whole Megillah happened. But again, why did they wish to make it happen? This was the prelude to the Jews going down to Mitzrayim. And the suffering. And what happens? Hashem made Pari suffer here. That was the prelude to the Makis. Mm-hmm. Right? And then Avraham Avinu goes out with a lot of wealth.
It's really similar, yeah.
It would be the same man, I mean the same power.
But it's the power of Egypt. It's the power of Egypt. It doesn't matter if it's the same guy or not. The king of Egypt, the Khalifa, the powerful evil of Egypt, didn't have to be the same guy or not. Like in the midst of destroying Amalek, it doesn't matter who the king is. Amalek is an evil power, that's it. Mitzrayim was the Khalifa. So that Barbanel says that the whole thing is, again, he doesn't say about myself is similar, but the Rambam Bachal says, all the things that happened is exactly what happened in the Jews were taken into slavery. She was taken as a slave simply to Pare. Hashem punished Pare. And then Vachrechen Yetzir Vachush Godel, then they went out with a lot of money. That's exactly what happened later on in history.
Some more serious plagues.
The Rebbe says that just like Sarah came out untouched, so all the women in Mitzrayim later on came out
untouched. Yeah, that's all part, you're right. That's all part of the thing, except one, Shlomis Bas Divri. But the women in Mitzrayim ended up staying pure, and yeah.
Pharaoh believed in God that time, or not yet?
In the natural level of God. When Yosef came to interpret the dreams, Pharaoh said, I have a dream. I heard you interpret the dreams. So Yosef said to him, in Parshas Miketz, that Elohim Ya'ane Eshlom Pari. Elohim, God, well, is that me? Elohim Ya'ane Eshlom Pari. Right? We find later on by the plagues, what did the Egyptian magicians say, Etzba Elohim hi. It's the finger of God. The same Pare, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to him and said, God, Hashem, said, send out the Jews, let my people go. Pare says, Lo yadaiti es Hashem. But the Pashi Shmei, Lo yadaiti es Hashem, v'gam es Yisrael lo yashalech. I don't know God, and I'm not sending the Jews out. Correct? So the question is, what do you mean? It says, Etzba Elohim hi, Elohim yana shlom pari. What do you mean, Pari comes along and says, I don't know God? He himself said God. Etzba Elohim hi. Right? So Chassidus explains very profoundly. Elohim is numerically 86. Was the numerical value of the word Hateva, the nature. Nature. World. Nature.
Yep.
At the creation, what does it say? Bereshis bara Elohim. Vayomer Elohim. Vayomer Elohim. Vayomer Elohim. All the Elohims. All the creations. Vayomer Elohim. What's the difference between Yudke Vavke, right, the name of Yudke Vavke, which is the essential name of God, and the name of Elohim? In fact, every time you make a bracha, you say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu, which is Hashem and Elohim. So the explanation is like this. Elohim represents God in nature. The way God comes into the natural world. Creation, which is nature, is Elohim. Elohim represents nature. Hateva, the nature. 86. The nature. Yudke Vavke, okay, means Mahave. The word Yudke Vavke is going to come to the Hebrew word Mahave, which is the creator, meaning he's above creation. Plus, if you have the name Yudke Vavke, we learned in the past, play with the letters. You have Haya, Hove, and Yehiye, which is past, present, and future in one word, meaning above time and place, and therefore it's past, present, and future simultaneously at the exact moment. Okay? So Yudke Vavke represents the level of God higher than nature. Elohim represents God in the natural state. What did Pare connect to? The name of Elohim. That's what Pare said. Lo yadaiti es Hashem. He didn't say he died to his Elohim. Pari knew Elohim. The God in nature, Pari was associated with. The God above nature, that's only Yidden. That's only Jews that have a neshama, part of God. That the whole thing is a whole different story. So over there, Pari says, "Lo yadayti es Hashem." But Pari, throughout history, understood there is a God, but only the limited level of Hashem, which is in nature. The level of God, which is supernatural, Pari says, "Lo yadayti es Hashem." And logically and probably, this Pari also, that level of God he did understand, and not the name of the supernatural God. Another thing the Mefarshim explained, why didn't Avram Avinu answer Pari when he said, "Why did you lie to me?" So number one, he saw right away he wasn't in the mood of answers. You know, it's very interesting. Then he brings on also, if he's going to answer him, he provokes more anger. You ever get into a fight with somebody? I mean, not if, when. You get into a fight with somebody and you answer each other, it provokes the anger. It stirs the pot. Therefore, it says in Musa Svarim, when you get angry, pardon the expression, they say, "Shut up." Just be quiet. All it does, talking fuels the anger. So Avraham Avinu says, Pari is angry now. Pari is angry. He got leprosy. He was angry at me. Avraham Avinu said, "Why should I stir the pot even more?" So number one, he saw he wasn't in the mood of a dialogue. He wasn't in the mood of debate. Secondly, Dal Sheikh writes, he saw that he's going to just make it worse. So Avraham didn't answer, and he just, goodbye.
Did Pari get cured after?
Yes. It says, yeah. He did.
He said, "Bless me afterward," right?
No, that was Avimelech. You're mixing up the two stories. According to the Ramban has a whole different answer here. The Ramban says, what should Avraham Avinu say? Pari was right. What should Avraham defend himself? There was nothing to defend. Avraham said, "She's my sister," and Pari was right. "Why, she's your wife. Why did you say it's my sister?" What should Avraham Avinu say? "Well, she's a little bit my sister." Come on. I mean, what should he answer? He had nothing to answer.
Yeah, why didn't he apologize?
That's what Ramban says. Huh?
Why didn't Moshe apologize?
It doesn't say that he didn't.
Avram.
You mean Avram?
I mean Avram.
Right. It could be he did. But the Torah doesn't go through every discussion.
That not answering is all the Torah needed to see. You apologize, the guy would keep going. Sometimes when you apologize, the guy keeps going anyway.
Ignoring you.
No, he didn't ignore me. He took his stuff.
His face said it all.
Listen, I'm sure. Pari said, Avram said goodbye. Thank you for your hospitality.
For the donkeys.
Yeah. for my future wife, your daughter. Can you believe Avram Avinu was Pari's son-in-law? When he married Hagar, right?
Wife.
He was Pari's son-in-law. See, that's the dowry of Pari prepaid. The dowry, the nadin, Pari prepaid for Hagar.
I think Pari knew that the people were bad wives.
Maybe he wanted to get rid of his daughter. Who knows?
No, it seems that she was from a concubine anyway, probably. If not, she wouldn't have been a maid to him.
Later on, by the Melech, Avram explained.
Yeah, we're going to see that's a completely different debate, the dialogue going on between Avram and Avimelech. Because, in fact, Avimelech, it's interesting, Rashi says it here. By Avimelech, Avimelech said to Avram, "My land is open before you. You can go wherever you want, take your time, go touring a little bit." Pari said, get out of here. Kach v'lech. So Rashi says, why? Because Pari knew his people. The people of Egypt were the most corrupt of them all. In fact, in last week's parsha, a week ago, Nachrimes, when the Torah says what we read on Yom Kippur, so Rashi says, from all the nations of the world, the Egyptians were the most immoral, the most corrupt. And Pari knew that. He said, you know what? You better not stick around town. They'll kill you. Like he said, you know, he's afraid they're going to get killed. They'll kill you. Just get out of here. Go. Just go. Okay, so he says like this. Vitzava le Pari Anoshim. Pari sent him with messengers, you know, to escort him and guard him. So what is Vitzav? What did he command? He commanded his people to take good care and protect Avram Avinu. And they sent him away, him and everything that he had. Okay? He didn't take back anything like we just said. He gave him even more gifts. Okay? Okay, now. Because the Gemara says in Saita, that in the merit of accompaniment of guests, a lot of great goyim merited longevity and greatness. Because Pari sent messengers to escort Avraham Avinu out. In fact, Gemara uses the expression, in the four paces, the four steps, four amas, which is the mitzvah of Leviyah, Pari merited to have the Jews under his slavery for 400 years. Why? Because he escorted Avraham Avinu 4 cubits. He merited to have the Jews under his domain for 400 years.
I don't believe that.
The what?
No.
I don't believe that.
Jews don't suffer for so long because of something so minute like that.
No. You're missing the point. Sorry. The Jews had to be enslaved because they had to be enslaved. Right. Why did Paro was the one that enslaved them? Why did not a different king? What merit did he have to be able to control Jews? Believe me, it's a merit to control Jews. The merit to control Jews he got because he sent an accompaniment with Avraham Avinu out of the country. That's where he merited. Okay, let's leave it here.